The Start Fierce Business Podcast shares the stories of how regular people just like you started their businesses. You'll get an inside look at their struggles and their wins, along with advice you can apply in your own business so you can start fierce. I'm your host, Cindy Rodriguez, startup co-founder and former freelancer. Now let's get started. Auntie Rick is a trusted operations and systems specialist who has a knack for taking her clients' businesses to the next level. Her no-nonsense, get-you-together approach is refreshing and reassuring to her clients and everyone she comes in contact with. In this podcast episode, we discuss why systems need to be at the forefront of your branding efforts, not design as most people think. We talk about career cycles in life, as well as why she'd like to have lunch with Pharrell and Queen Latifah. Welcome to the show, Auntie Rick.
Hey, Cindy. What's good?
Welcome back. For those of you that don't know, Auntie Rick was on, I think, like episode 3 or 4, one of the super early episodes of the podcast, which I'll link to in the show notes. But tell us about yourself outside of your business.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the first time I was on, I was the mom of a high schooler, and now I'm the mom of a college graduate. So it's been a while. And outside of that, who am I? I've had some time to think about it as an empty nester. And I'm enjoying coming into my own fierceness. How about that? And I'm finding joy in a project that was put on my heart 5 years ago. It's called Chicks Be Trippin', but that might have to be another episode. and I am now finding my footing, which I had lost between the idea and the concept and the big dream, the long range goals. For the last 5 years, I was missing the in-between, so I'm having fun discovering that and learning new skills and dusting off old skills. And on the other side of it, learning what foods I can no longer eat as I get older. Some of the things I love don't love me anymore. So I'm actually in a stage of rediscovery.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the foods I love don't love me anymore.
Yeah, that list, as I get closer to 50, that list gets shorter and shorter.
Well, tell us about your business and what you have going on now.
Okay, so for the last 13 years, I have independently run a graphic and web design studio. And although I'll still be doing some of that on a different scale, that is now taking a backseat to IT Rick, the entity. And what's involved in that is putting the power behind the branding, or putting the business behind the branding, because especially since the start of 2018, personally, I've run into situations where I fell in love with someone's marketing and branding. Mm-hmm. And the customer experience was horrible. Not just the customer service, but the whole total customer experience. And then I started noticing businesses of all sizes, from, you know, the micro businesses, freelancers, right up until franchises and really huge corporations. In some area or the other, I could tell where there were processes missing based on the outcome of an interaction I had, based on comments I had seen on social media, and just having conversations with other people. And it kept coming back to me in different forms. And I'm like, okay, so what am I supposed to be doing with this? And that's kind of part of my rediscovery period. And it has turned into me doing instruction and consulting and a small part of done for you services, as far as helping people to put the business behind the pretty branding. And the areas I focus on is total business operation. So not just the marketing and sales portion of a business, and the web and how their websites and how that marries in to operations, and then customer experience and getting through the whole full customer experience cycle.
I love that. I love that so much because most of us creatives, we focus on making the brand look pretty, but a lot of the other stuff, like, we're not so good at, and maybe we don't focus on it. So I love that you are focusing on helping people do that, because there's lots of people out there helping people make things pretty already.
Yeah, and the problem with starting with making it look pretty is that you end up with a pretty brand that doesn't match your brand's personality. So I have avoided calling myself a brand strategist for years, mm-hmm. because that's not exactly what I do. But the premise, even in the on the design side, the way I work is if you don't have a business plan of some sort, you know, and even if it's a very like informal, look, this is what I do, this is who I do it for, and this is how much I want to make from it, and this is what I'm offering. If that's all your business plan is, that's fine. But if you don't even have that, I can't design for you. Because one of two things, or maybe three things, are going to happen. You're not going to be satisfied with any design because you don't even know the direction you want to go into. So starting with the look first and then try to marry it to the message after, that's when you find people rebranding every 6 months, right? So you're not going to find satisfaction in anything that's designed because you don't even know what you're looking for deep down. Something else that might happen is you don't really see the value in the design work being done because you don't know what's involved because you haven't taken the time to even scribble down what it is you want to do and or researched the area in the direction you're going into. And that also means that you may potentially, and when I say you, I mean in general, you may potentially not find the urgency or the priority for your involvement in your visual branding process, if that makes sense. I was doing this anyway with past design clients because we have to get you to a certain, this is just the way I work, but I had to get you to a certain point for it to even make sense. Because I can't be creative if I'm frustrated because you don't know what you want. So let's figure out what it is you're trying to do first. And maybe you don't need me. Maybe you can get away with A, B, and C. And I am the type of person who is not afraid to say, listen, you don't need me for this. You can do this, this, and this. Because in all honesty, for some people, especially those who are just starting out, you know, my rates might be a little hefty for them. Mm-hmm. So my advice usually is when you're first starting out, just do it yourself, because then you get a sense of what's involved so you can pick someone more suited to what you need when it is time to hire, and so that you have a respect for the work that they're doing. So when I first started out, a lot of my clients, and even now, were people who were taken advantage of in some way, shape, or form. And that's because they didn't know what they didn't know. And even now, it just seems like there's even more information overload and a whole lot of generic advice. And so, you know, when someone says, well, how much will it cost me for X amount of pages? Well, what do you want on those pages? Oh, I don't know. Well, what are you trying to do? Well, I don't know. Well, I can't give you an answer. Or they'll say, well, I need a straightforward. Why won't anyone give me a straightforward answer? Because you can't answer the question, what is it you're trying to do? It's really not a one size fits all situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to get the whole, just give me your price list and I'll pick something. And I'm like, but that's not how it works. I don't have a price
right.
list.
I have ranges. And my range is going to depend on what you need. Because five pages of just text and a few images It looks a lot different on the labor side than five pages that involve video integration, integration with other platforms. Do you need e-commerce on one or two of those pages? What else you need? And if you need e-commerce, then there's a whole bunch of other stuff that needs to be set up. Are you legally set up to run this stuff? And unfortunately, just in the circles that I've been around, there's a set of people who are going to into business for themselves and winging it and jumping on the info bandwagons of those who are popular and not always getting the correct information for their particular needs. And so here I am. I actually have a 20 plus year history in business operations on a government, education, and corporate level with global companies. So I have that plus my design experience, plus some other experience that I have as a teacher and instructor. And so that's where we are with RTWork. So I'm coming in as one of my colleagues dubbed me the fairy godmother of hustle some years ago, and I'm running with that.
That is a cute creative title.
Yes, that's a creative title. My official title is business operations and systems specialist. So that's the official title, but I've been called the fairy godmother of hustle. So I'm gonna run with that and, you know, see where that takes me. But I really just want to help. I really do want to help, especially those who just don't know where to turn and keep feeling lost. Part of that feeling lost is because there's no actual roadmap.
Yeah, definitely. Because you can piece together things from this side and this Facebook Live and here and there, but it's really hard to find a whole complete system because it's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. And where I come in is that when we speak, I know what questions to ask you to get the answers that you need. And then I am some women are product junkies with their hair and skincare. I am a software product junkie. So if it's new and it comes out and I come across something new, I test it out. I can compare it to other things. And so, you know, I may not know all the ins and outs of a particular platform, but I can tell you that, okay, well, like using the website examples, I can say, well, listen, if all you're doing is this, then you should try this and save yourself some dollars. Again, I'm not afraid to send someone somewhere else if it's a better fit for them, because there's nothing like a client who feels like they wasted money on you, even though they may love the job that you've done. It may be too much for them. And then if they find out after the fact, or even feel after the fact, that you really just took them on for the money and they feel bamboozled and maybe you could have suggested something different, there's a resentment there. I've seen it and I've experienced it. And so just for transparency's sake, you know, like I said, I'm not afraid to put someone onto something else if it's a better fit for them.
So let's move on to some kind of fun questions.
Okay.
Well, if you could have lunch with, well, I guess it's not very fun, but it's kind of fun for me. If you could have lunch with one business thought leader, who would it be?
I don't know if I would call him a business thought leader. I probably would call him a business moves leader. I really want to have lunch with Pharrell. Okay. I really want to have lunch with Pharrell.
Why Pharrell? Because I've never had anybody mention him.
He's a quiet beast as far as his ventures go. I kind of fell off the following what he was doing train, but I find it interesting in the ventures he's involved in. I would probably have just like a hip hop round table only because For a lot of, you know, the rappers and producers that I came up around and during those eras, I'm like, look at y'all. Queen Latifah is another one with Flavor Unit. Somebody should make this happen for me. Like, We can have auntie and crumpets and do tea and scones and all that. And by the way, I already own the auntie and crumpets domain, so don't you try. I stay on top of it. But someone should make that happen for me. Because, I mean, there's quite a few people. Latifah's definitely one. I tend to look at the business ventures. I guess they could be adventures too, right? But the business ventures that don't always make a lot of noise, but they're very impactful and usually profitable, but definitely impactful, but it's not something that everyone knows about.
Yeah, because I didn't really know much about him because I don't follow him aside from his music, and then no one's ever mentioned him on the show.
Yeah. And it's something I read in an interview he did. I think it was with Fast Company. And he said something to the effect of making sure that women are in charge of his ventures, or he hires women or something like that. Like he has or comes across as having a respect for contributions that women make into business. Mm-hmm. So that kind of endeared me to him a little bit more. But he's someone that has always interested me. So yeah, I don't know if I really go the business thought leader route. Cause like I said, most of the people that I look at and fake study, don't make a lot of noise outside of like the talent that they have.
Yeah.
If I can say that. And I guess they would call them sleepers. Like the people that you just would not even think about in a certain capacity, but they're killing it in a different industry. So those are the type of people I would probably lean toward. Plus it's hip hop. Like,
so what's your favorite business book?
Who Moved My Cheese? When I was finished at Bacardi, that was part of my package. And I read it, and it took me maybe an hour, and I didn't put it down, and it changed a lot for me in that little hour that it took me to read it. I used to be a very voracious reader, but it was definitely timely, and at the time it was given to me, and I took it to heart, and it has stayed with me for 13 years.
I've never read that book, but it's always been on my to-read list.
It's so short, I promise you.
Okay. I've sucked. I'm usually really good at reading books. This year I've sucked. I haven't even read like a quarter of the books that I want to read this year.
Yeah, I'm very bad. And even though I try to get back in the habit, I take my reading in smaller doses now. So if I can get through a chapter in a month, I feel like I've accomplished something. I'm no longer beating myself up about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. I'm so busy. So, and I purposely set a lower goal this year for reading, but I just, because I knew it was going to be a busy year. I didn't know it was going to be as busy, though.
Right. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, I got a chapter done this month. Oh, and another one, which is probably not one that's as popular, but as a Gen Xer, it hit home for me, and it is called Get Your Beep Off the Couch, and it's by April Walker, who is the founder of Walkerwear, which was one of, if not the first, streetwear lines in the 90s. Owned by a woman, not one of the first lines, but April Walker, let me just see. And she's from Brooklyn, and she's pretty dope. She's very dope. She had, you know, like Tupac and Wu-Tang, and everybody wore Walkerwear back in the day, and she's actually reviving that. But I just love her spirit as well, and she's a pretty dope lady. But I got her book. That one took me, I read it between a Saturday. No, I read her book in 6 hours. And as someone who was starting kind of working back in the 90s and going through this transition of, okay, well, you know, I'm on probably my third career cycle now. I've been doing this a long time. I had a pizza delivery service 33 years ago. Like, that sounds weird to say, but one summer I learned how to make pizzas in school, and we didn't have pizza delivery where I live that summer. And I made a little good bit of coin making pizzas and selling them to people on my mom's job. That was like 33 years ago. But yeah, I'm on my third career cycle now. And there's a whole lot of mindset shifting that has to go on. Especially if you're someone who is or was used to being or performing at a certain level and being compensated at certain levels, and certain things falling into place if you did these steps, right? There's a generational mindset shift that needs to go on. And I really enjoy her book because it felt like someone understood me. Whereas a lot of the popular books out now don't really speak my language, if that makes sense. So, and I'm sorry for all the ums. My English.
It's okay.
My English professor, my English high school teacher would cringe so hard right now. But yeah, it's called, why can't I find it now? It's called Get Your Bleep Off the Couch. There's a donkey on the front. Her dad did her illustrations. but yeah, oh, Walker Gems is what it is.
I'm gonna check her book out, because there's one thing that I've actually been thinking about this week, and that is when I was younger, I used to think that I wanted to do something and that was going to be like my forever career. And when I was in it, and I'm like, nope, this isn't it. This isn't like my forever thing. I was always looking for that forever thing. But as I've gotten older and in my mid-30s, is like, there isn't a forever career. You're always changing. And that career can change. You don't have to pick something for the rest of your life.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Like, if there was one thing that I wish I could have learned earlier, is that it's not set in stone and you're allowed to change your mind. Cause that's not something, I can't say that that was something I knew. And I can definitely say that that was not something I was given permission to do. It's just a whole lot culturally, where I grew up, what's the norm there, generation. What am I trying to say, Cindy? Generationally.
Multiple generations.
Yeah, like, there was just a whole lot to battle. So, you know, and then I was on a panel for some high school kids, and this might have been like 5 or 6 years ago, and it really didn't click for me until someone said it. But like, you know, the kids who know exactly what they want to do and be from the time they're like 4 or 5 years old, it, like, that's cool. But the rest of us who are not lifelong passion hunters, we get to try out everything. Like, the kids who know what they want to be, a doctor or a lawyer or a best-selling rapper, from the time they're 4 or 5 years old, they have a focus. And I guess it feels like they've found their purpose. And as someone who hasn't had that experience of pinpoint, I want to do exactly this, when they're so young, I think we end up feeling like we're lost. We don't know what our purpose is. We can't find our passion. I don't know what my purpose in life is. How do you find your purpose? And I'm sorry to go off on a tangent here, Cindy, but
it's okay.
You know, I work off of what I feel in my spirit. But the beauty in not knowing or thinking you don't know what your purpose is that you get to try so many different things. You don't have to be married to it in order to find your purpose. And for me, that period of time between like moving to Atlanta and maybe even up until I started Chicks Be Tripping 5 years ago, I was passionless. So people were talking at me like, you should profit from your passion. And I'm like, I don't have a passion. What do you mean? Because there were so many things that were on other people's bucket list. I had been done that. Girl, I did that. Been there, done that. And it's cool to check stuff off your bucket list. But when you get to the end of the bucket list, it's like, then now what? And being unemployable for whatever reason. Not because of lack of skill, just because it just wasn't popping at the time for me. And that's how I ended up being an entrepreneur, because I had to. I became a have-to-preneur, right? So between that and then moving countries, because I also had just recently moved back to the States then, being a single mom, having to think differently, having to have a cultural mindset shift, all of that. And then having checked all those things off the bucket list and then being like, what's next? And I tried as many different things as I could. It just so happened that on one of the only vacations I've had in the last 13 years, what I realized was the common denominator across all the things I had experienced. And that common denominator was, I'm happiest and I feel more at peace when the people I interact with have an aha moment and something clicks. And whether it was a good interaction or a not so good interaction, because I put that auntie, I got the name auntie because I keep it real with you. And you may not always like what I have to tell you. As I've gotten older, I've tried to make my delivery a lot more palatable. However, some things just have to come out. So whichever manner it happened, whether you felt it was a good interaction or a not so good interaction, at the end of the day, if you are more enlightened and able to move forward, then I'm at peace with that. And there's some people who will never speak to me again, but just based off of things they've done since, I know that what they took my words to heart, and that's where I found I was at peace. So that became my purpose. I'm here to help enlighten people. But it took me almost 10 years to figure that out, because I couldn't move forward because I wasn't doing anything different, right? So yeah, like, I get that. That's why the book resonated with me so much, because she talks about things that I could relate to, as far as, well, this is what I used to do, and when I was doing it, I was really good at it. And then this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, for whatever reason. But now I'm finding my footing again.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very easy read. It's a very fast read. I know I could relate to it because I was living in New York during the 90s, the early, late 80s, early 90s. So it hit home even more for me, because some of that stuff, like, I was right in the middle of it. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You know what's cool? I actually came, well, it wasn't to New York, but I moved from Puerto Rico to here in the late 80s. So going through this culture shock through around the same time that you were going through it, because island life is super different. I mean,
mm-hmm.
But even now, it's way different from back in the 80s. But it was very conservative.
Very. Still to this day. Because you still have, you know, your elders,
mm-hmm.
who pass on to no fault of their own, you know? And that air of, you're younger than me, so you don't know what you're talking about, so I'm not listening to you.
Right, exactly.
And, yeah, like, it's a whole other set of battles when you're crossing cultures on top of that. And so the main part is just to know that it happens and not to, like, you have to shed that on top of shedding other, you know, blocks to your beliefs. But it helps when you know that other people are banging their head against the wall with the same thing.
Well, the cool thing about it is these days you can hop on Facebook, you can hop on LinkedIn, Instagram, Snapchat, anywhere, and meet other people exactly like you who are going through the same things you're going through and get support.
Yes. Only if you share, though.
If you share, if you keep it to yourself and you think you're the only person with those problems, then you're just going to be suffering for longer.
Yes. And let's not think of them as problems. They're unique issues or, you know, just a little different than the norm. I like being different from the norm, though, because I'm pretty sure your listeners are like, who is this lady? I don't sound refined, and I'm okay with that. You know, I used to rock with the best of them in the C-suites, but that's one thing I do love from my corporate employment history. My employers rock with me and my being so different from them. They would look at me and side-eye me and shake their head, but they rock with me. I can't. But then again, I've never worked full-time in America. So, like, when I really think about it, I've never had a full-time job in the States. All of my jobs here have been, you know, part-time. Just part-time. But so I'm very fortunate that my corporate experience was not tainted. Not to say that it wasn't without issue and that I didn't experience certain things, but the good days far outweighed the bad days. And the benefits and the pay far outweighed anything I was ever offered here. So, you know, I'm grateful for that experience and that I can share it. But, you know, if we talk about this stuff more and then people know, like, okay, I'm just a little different, but I'm not the only one.
What is your favorite internet resource or app that just makes your life easier? And you have to pick one.
Really, Cindy?
Just one.
Dubsado. And that's easy to pick. You know why? Because it makes me money. It saves me time and it makes me money. And they keep getting better and better every day. Well, not every day, but just so happens that on the day we're taping this, they had a major release. And yeah, it keeps getting better. I've been a subscriber since February of 2017, and I do not regret one penny spent. As a matter of fact, like within 90 minutes of me sending out my first proposals, I had two booked and signed clients. And by booked and signed, I mean contract signed, invoices paid.
Nice.
On the day I decided, I was like, I haven't had a pedicure in a minute. Let me go have a pedicure. And I was sitting in a pedicure chair. And as I was going to check out, I had two notifications of invoices paid and contract signed.
Nice.
And that's the other part. Like, it's so beautiful when set up properly with Dubsado. Not only does it do all of those things, it has replaced like 7 apps for me. Because it does my leads, it does proposals. Well, of course I set them up, but it does my proposals. I can take questionnaires and surveys. I can do contracts. I can do subcontracts. I can issue invoices and take payments. And they have a little project management situation going on in there. They have a client portal. And all of that is less than, well, I guess by the time this runs, it'll be about $30 a month. Which is ridiculously, I shouldn't say ridiculously low, but in comparison, there was a site I use for electronic signatures that for, I believe, $59 a month, I could do maybe 3 contracts a month at the time. Dubsado is unlimited for $30 a month now or so. But yeah, I picked that one as my favorite because the money I spend on it, it makes me back easily. And it makes my life easier. And my website can work for me 24/7, literally.
I love that. You have it integrated with your website?
Yep. The lead form is on my website as a contact form. It looks like a contact form, right? And people can pick a package. And if you have it set up properly, or not properly, but if you have it set up, you can set up workflows that automate a whole bunch of stuff based on next steps. So I can actually, you know, have a lead. And if that lead chooses they want to do brand design, I can send them a service guide for brand design. And from that service guide for brand design, they can decide what they want. Now, my guide needs to be done in such a manner that entices someone to want more information, right? But then they can choose which option they want. And based on the option they choose, the invoice can be issued. And based on the option they choose, I can assign a payment schedule to it so that it takes the deposit now, and then it will bill them every month for the next 3 months, if that's, you know, what I want. And then from there, it can have them sign their service agreement or the contract. And then from there, once everything is signed and paid for, it can send them the entrance to their client portal, which means that every email that I send to them is in there. Their invoices are in there. Contracts are in there. I can send them proof sheets and it'll be in their client portal. They don't have to email me at 1 o'clock in the morning. They can just log into their client portal and what they need is there. Let's say they're launching on September 1st. I can set it up so next year on September 1st, it sends them a happy anniversary on your launch email. Like, it's so, and that's part of what I'm doing under the Anti-Rick entity is helping people set up, like I said, their operations, their website, and their customer experience so that if they want to automate parts of their business to save them time and money down the road, it's easy. And the great thing is I don't build for the platform. I build for your business. So no matter what platform you're using, once we're finished working together, you can take that to whatever platform you want to use. And it's done in such a manner that, you know, people are like, I don't like to automate. It's not personal. But I'm sure you know, as I know, that that's not always the case. Automation doesn't have to mean impersonal.
Yeah, if it's done right, it can be very personal. But also, everybody automates. All your big companies that you think are sending you personal emails are not.
No, they are not personal at all. It just looks that way. So, yeah, and I'm open to working with big and small businesses. How about that? The solopreneurs and the people of 100 employees or 1,000 or 10,000. We can do it online. We can do it as a group online. You can fly me in. I'm not shy about that.
Well, where can we find you online? Where can users find you online? What's your website? Where do you hang out on social media the most?
AuntieRick, AuntieRick.com. I am AuntieRick on Instagram and Twitter. And there is an AuntieRick page on Facebook coming.
Yay.
And I shall be on LinkedIn soon. Yes. But if you go to AuntieRick.com, that's what I pay for it for. That'll tell you how to get everywhere. And maybe I'll just, you know, do a little page just for your listeners so they can get some of the goody goods.
Awesome. And I will include that in the show notes if you do decide to do that.
Yeah, I will. Maybe I will do that.
Thank you.
A little hi, welcome page and the resources I talked about.
Thank you. That'll be super nice.
I'm not the Silicon Valley sound.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not what these people expect, but I'm definitely what they need. You can quote me on that one. I'm
still recording because I'm gonna keep some of this, but also because I haven't said bye.
Oh, right.
So I'm gonna close it. Well, Auntie Rick, thank you so much for sharing your story and so much knowledge with us today.
Thank you so much for having me again. You know, every time we get on the line, I don't know how to shut up.
It's good. We got to do this more often when I change, you know, if I decide to change directions in the podcast and do more informative type things. I think we should do this more often.
We could maybe do that.
You'll find links to everything we discussed in this episode at startfiercebusiness.com/episode171.